GNC 582. It's Monday, June 7th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everyone, yes, I'm in the state of Texas. I've got a great show for you. You know what to do next. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
And welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the state of Texas via the Geek News Central portable studio, powered by Clear, Verizon, and Sprint. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, your host. And show number 582. And we're fast approaching show 600, so we're going to have to start making some plans for show 600. You know, after I hit 500, it's kind of, it's like, well, it's just another even number, but we're only 18 shows away. And after tonight, 17 from show 600. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime subscribers of the show, those of you that have been here through thick and thin, through technical glitches, from me being tired to no sleep to being in the studio and experimenting. Thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the family. It's very important to me that you stay subscribed. And, of course, we want to welcome the listeners from 165 countries worldwide. People download this show from every country throughout the planet. It's amazing. Well, not every, but almost every country in the world is tuned into the show. What is the actual total number of countries in the whole world? I know we're reaching 165. At least that's what my list says in the stat system. So we're not missing many, but I need to go back through and try to do a calculation at some point of that. But anyway, no matter where you're tuning in, thanks for being subscribed to the show. And we want to encourage those of you that are new, want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, I want to encourage you to sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about tonight during the show, including links that have been submitted by our Ohana. And really, all Ohana are is family of the show, members, longtime subscribers. Being that I'm living in Hawaii and have really adopted the persona of the Hawaiian culture, Ohana is very, very important to me, and every listener of this show is very important to me. So I hope that you'll subscribe to the newsletter. That'll get you, again, all the content that I'm going to cover tonight. Of course, if you don't do that, you can always find the show notes on the website at geeknewscentral.com. And while you're over there, make sure you get subscribed to the show so that you don't ever miss an episode. And the beauty about this media is you don't have to listen to the show today. You can listen to it tomorrow or the next or even a week from now. And the main thing is it'll always be available for you to download or automatically get via iTunes. And that's probably one of the easiest ways to get the show. Of course, you can sign up through Zune Marketplace or even on your mobile devices. There's many feed catchers over there who actually pull down the podcast as well. So whatever way you can get subscribed, please do so. There's lots of options on the main page at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, those of you that are watching the show on the Roku and Boxy device, hey, thanks for watching. We appreciate it. Send me some feedback. I know I've been getting text messages, and I've also been getting, I can't talk to this person. Someone's dialing me. Okay, sorry. I can't talk now. It's an 808 number. Interesting. Well, anyway, watch us on the Roku and let me know what you think about the show delivered that way. I know we've seen some extraordinary numbers. The numbers continue to go up week after week, and I'm very happy with the implementation over there. You guys usually get the video portion of the show about 12 to 15 hours later than the audio portion. So if you really get to the point where you need the Geek News Central fix, make sure you just go ahead and grab it, and you can listen to the audio portion and catch the video when you can. But it's just because I have to do extra processing and uploading everything. It takes a little bit longer to get the show on the street. Well, obviously, I'm in Texas this week. I'll be here through Friday night. I leave Saturday morning to go to Rochester, New York. Instead of going all the way home to Honolulu and spending, you know, basically 24 or 36 hours at home, I decided to just go straight out to Rochester. So I'll be exploring the Rochester area this coming weekend. I actually get in late Saturday night and then be there through the week and then fly back to Honolulu on Saturday the 21st or something like that. Hey, I'm still on the hunt right now for a search engine optimization expert. And I'm serious about hiring someone for a small job. If you have a recommendation, please send it over to me. It'd be greatly appreciated. Hey, been getting lots of feedback on blueberry.com as well, the new rollout of the site. And we're actually watching traffic going up and up daily on that. And we're really, really pleased with the traffic and with the new design. And so far, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. There's a few bugs in the site yet, and I was pinging on Angelo today to see if he could get them fixed. Primarily, I was having trouble getting to my MyCast selections on the front page, and hopefully he'll get that dealt with and fixed. And I don't know if anyone else has seen this or not, but it might be because of some cookies being set because I can get into our admin site as well. So maybe regular listeners aren't affected by it. But it gives you a great way to sample featured shows over there. And so definitely check out the variety of podcasts that are in our featured section, and both video and audio as well. Hey, we're going to run a new contest. Actually, I'm going to run a number of contests for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And the first one is really kind of an idea that Sam, one of the Arahana in Albuquerque, kind of impaired upon me that, you know, since I've been doing the live show now, I really should have a more dedicated page for the live programming. And up to this point, everything has been live. As you know, you either come into the Ustream site or you can catch it on the main page at geeknewscentral.com or geeknewscentral.com/live. But I really think we're going to have to get to the point now where maybe it's time to add some additional elements and come up with a live.geeknewscentral.com as an actual landing page for the show. So what I'm looking for is a design for live.geeknewscentral.com, staying within the motif of the current header design of the site that makes it a little easier so we don't have to do a lot of stuff with CSS. But do a mock-up design. If you think you have some ideas on what a good live site, a live page would be, a dedicated live page, feel free to go ahead and design something up and submit that to me. And in 2 weeks from today, actually the show when I get back to Honolulu, we'll take all the design inputs, and then I will, if you can implement it, we will have you do the implementation as well. If you can't, I'll just award someone a fat, cool check of $250. So design the new live.geeknewscentral.com page. Come up with an idea, and if your design is picked, you'll win a cool $250 in cash. Now, one thing I've tried to do, and something I really, over time, did not work out as well as I wanted it to, is a couple years ago, we ran a promotion where we had five individuals from the show started their own podcast. Those folks have, some of them have remained running and are up on their own and continue to build their shows. And at some point here, we'll talk about each of those shows and what has happened over the past year and a half. But what I've got to thinking about was, what's a better way for me to help someone that has an idea? Now, there is a tough economic situation right now in this country. Many of you are probably out of work. Some of you maybe have cut back, and maybe you've just got an idea towards something that you'd like to start, and maybe just need a little bit of seed cash to get started. So what I'd like to do is take ideas from the audience. If you have an idea on something that you wanted to do forever, something that you've wanted to build out, and if I find that the idea is good, maybe I will provide some investment in that seed idea. So feel free to send me your ideas over, and if you want me to, you know, have something, there would be a non-disclosure. We'll do that as well. But I really think at this time, it's time for me to kind of help some folks with some ideas. And we're talking about very small investments, probably under $500, where I would help you get up get a domain, get the websites initially started. So something to that effect. And I don't know how many of these I'll be able to do throughout the year, but this is basically a way for me to kind of help all of you reach some of your goals, and maybe we can work together and build something bigger. And this is something that I'm going to be taking out of my personal income. It's not something that's going to come out of my corporate check. So if you have an idea or something that you'd like to put together, feel free to forward me that idea over at geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll get that going. So we're going to have the live.geeknewscentral.com design and implementation announced 2 weeks from today by ideas being submitted by the Ohana. We're going to have this ongoing idea type of, if you have an idea about some sort of a website or some sort of a business, see if I can help you with a little bit of seed money to get started. Again, these are very small projects that would be something that would initially get you going. And then we're going to get into a final promotion. And that is where one of our sponsors have basically, well, really, I'm going to be paying for it. But if you've never used GoToMeeting, this is for those of you that have never used it before. I want you all, if you've never tried it, to feel free to do a trial, 30-day trial, see what you like about it. And then 3 weeks from today, so that would be, let me look at the calendar here. That would be on the 28th of June. On the 28th of June, we'll give one of the Ohana that has never used GoToMeeting before, we'll give them a cash value worth 3 months credit towards a GoToMeeting plan so that they can use it, and it'd be courtesy of Geek News Central. It's something I will pay you, and you will use that to pay pay the bill for the actual signing up for the application. So it's not something I'm going to pay, so it's just going to be a straight cash reward of $150. So anyway, let me know. By the end of the you're going to have to have your submissions in by the 25th, okay, 25th, 26th of June, of what you've liked about the application, what you've hated, how you're going to use it, and so forth. So anyway, a couple of little contests and some ideas. So we're just, you know, we're kind of playing with this a little bit here. And it's just some stuff I want to do to help keep us moving through the summer months as well. And I think that's the most important thing. All right, let me go ahead here. And as a reminder, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com/offers. There's a lot of offers over there that will help keep the lights on here at Geek News Central. And, of course, check out the Geek News Central Insider. If you want to become an insider, go to geeknewscentral.com/insider. And probably what I'll do in another 2 to 3 weeks, I'll probably put out another insider report. And it'll be the third one that will be coming out. So geeknewscentral.com/insider if you want to sign up for that. Don't forget, you can get cool T-shirts like the one I'm wearing right now. Let me turn this off. Over at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Those of you that are watching on the video right now, you can see it says Ohana, and underneath it, it actually says geeknewscentral.com. So I've gotten a lot of compliments on this shirt, and I don't know how many of these we've sold. Sam will have to let me know, but it's a nice shirt to have if you want to, and it's, you can get different colors and different designs. Go over to cafepress.com/Ohana store. Okay, on Twitter, use hashtags Ohana, use hashtag GNC. Favorite the website on Facebook when you're over at Geek News Central, that would be appreciated. And let's take care of a little business here. You guys know that longtime sponsor GoDaddy.com has really been a sustaining force of this show. And I know that all of you are out there looking now to make your voices heard. And it's a great time before the end of the month to pick up a domain name, because prices are going up, and it's not because GoDaddy wants the price to go up, but because they are being forced to because of a .com price increase. So think about getting over to GoDaddy and picking up some domain names if you're thinking about some things that you've been wanting to do. And while you're over there, check out all the great products and services they have. If you're looking for a hosting account, if you're looking for a dedicated server, maybe getting ready to graduate your current website from a shared hosting account to a dedicated server or a virtual dedicated server, you can save a lot of money by using my promo codes. And share my promo codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Put them on bulletin boards. Wherever you can share the codes, that's good. And if you have a blog, link back to me at geeknewscentral.com as well, and make sure you link up to our GoDaddy page. That will get your help us out as well. And everything is appreciated. You guys are supporting that. Promo code Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. ComSale will get you .coms at new and renewals for $7.49 until July 1st. And Aloha, you'll save $20 on orders $75 or more. So there's a lot of great codes over there. You can find that link at geeknewscentral.com. Look in the second column of the website and save some money at GoDaddy. And I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Great time to pick up a product and service and really kind of make your dreams come true by getting some stuff set up on the net. And this is where it's back ties into ideas and picking a domain and picking out some, you know, either be a blog or e-commerce site or whatever it may be that you want to do. We really want to help some of you get going with some online stuff. So anyway, send your ideas to geeknews@gmail.com, of course, and see what we can do to help you out there. Hey, let's take just a second and talk a little bit more about GoToMeeting. You guys know that I absolutely prefer to be home, but when I have to travel, I want to have the ability to continue to do business as if I was sitting in my office in Honolulu. You know, it's an ongoing, pretty challenging economy right now, and companies of all sizes must find new ways to cut costs. You guys know that Raw Voice is a small company. We watch our expenditures very closely to make sure that we have more coming in than we have going out as a way to sustain our business model. And every dollar saved helps our bottom line. And that's why I recommend and use the best web conferencing solution online and available today for your business. And this is, you know, this product's going to help you improve overall business communications and efficiencies, not to mention improving the global economy because, unlike me, hopefully you won't have to travel as much. So the easiest and most affordable for me is GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. Reduce time on the road by presenting training or demonstrations online. Improve conference calls by collaborating in real time by sharing your screens. So really, GoToMeeting is the best way to increase productivity or actually reduce cost, but to increase your productivity and cut costs. I say that right? Yep. So you guys know I've used GoToMeeting for years, and as a listener of this show, you can try GoToMeeting for free. GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. .com/techpodcast for a month of unlimited online meetings free, and it truly is a product that I use every single day. It doesn't matter if I'm home or on travel or whatever. All right, let's go ahead and get into the regular content here. I've talked way too long on just this regular stuff. I know that's what you guys have tuned in for is the content. Really, today is all about the iPad. I mean, not the iPad, the iPhone. someone in over on Dale actually says in the Ustream area, he says, Todd, ultimately, there are 195 countries in the world. So that answers, we're only missing 30. That's pretty good. I'm sure those other 30, some of those others don't even, most of them don't even have internet access. But there are 195 countries in the world. 165 is what we're reaching with the show. Very cool. So you see that? Instantly, I got the answer from the one of the Ohana watching on Ustream. Of course, I'm going to be here live for you this next couple of weeks. On Thursday show, we'll start at 8 p.m. Central. Then the following week, I will try to start at 8 p.m. Eastern, both Monday and Thursday night of the show next week. So if you want to watch live during hours where most of you are awake, this is a great 2 weeks to watch the show live. All right, the RIAA wants LimeWire shut down. And they're quoting to asking the judge, the federal judge overseeing the LimeWire case, to slap a permanent injunction on LimeWire, quote unquote, until it can clean up its copyright troubles to the label's satisfaction. They're saying it is patently obvious that the rampant illegal conduct that LimeWire intentionally induced and for which it has been judged liable will continue uninterrupted day after day unless and until the court issues an injunction to rein the mass infringement operation, says the recording industry via the court request. And we know that LimeWire was found liable for massive copyright infringement a few weeks ago. Matter of fact, their CEO was held accountable on some of that. So we'll see what happens here. Now, they're saying in the week since this court order, they are asking, what has LimeWire done to try to halt or limit the infringement? And they say, from all appearances, nothing. And the RIAA wants the judge to shut down the service and forbid LimeWire from distributing its software or running advertising. For the service to reopen, they'd have to meet the RIAA satisfaction that they weren't infringing. So kind of a curious move here by the RIAA. We'll see what happens here. And, of course, LimeWire responded saying that a permanent injunction is not the best course of action. It said it could hold back the creation of new digital music technology that LimeWire is in the process of developing and does not benefit the industry as a whole. So we'll see where this falls out. But obviously the RIAA is definitely wants to put the slap on LimeWire and get them shut down. Hey, we will talk more about iPhone 4 near the end of the show. And the reason is there's just so much. It dominated the news today. I wanted to get the other news of the day out. I'm sure many of you have already read about stuff about the iPhone version 4, and you may not even want to listen to that portion of the show, so I saved it to the close to the end. I do have some other cool articles to talk about after the iPhone 4 coverage, so you don't want to leave. There will be some additional content. Hey, over in Chattanooga, Tennessee, this is pretty exciting stuff. I remember as a probably when I first joined the Navy, I had went home on vacation. I had came back and was driving. I was actually going to school in Millington, Tennessee. They had that's where the Navy's A school was, where you went and actually taught learned your technical trade. And I was driving back, coming south, and actually stopped in Chattanooga to get gas one time, and actually got off at a pretty and an exit that. Let's put it this way. It was a scary part of Chattanooga. But this is interesting. The fourth largest city in Tennessee is about to get the fastest municipal providing internet and IP video service in the United States. Chattanooga's city-owned EPB Fiber Optics promises that its residents are going to be able to buy what they're calling 5-speed internet, 150 megabits fiber to home broadband with down and upload speeds again of 150 megs. This is amazing. Now this puts Chattanooga many years ahead of the FCC's goal for the national broadband plan. This is great. Here we have another municipal internet service provider that is being able to deploy fiber to the home to all of Chattanooga residents and be able to provide 150 megs up and down. Now, this should make other municipalities sit up and really take notice. Now, the latest fiber rollout is going to cost them about $220 million, and it's going to add an internet-based smart grid system to the region itself. Of course, none of this was welcomed by the incumbents who filed lawsuits to stop the project. But the cable company and telcos have charged that the EPB was unfairly subsidizing some of its internet/TV services with electricity utility revenue. And a county court had dismissed the suit filed by the Tennessee Cable and Telecommunications Association in 2008. So the city residents voted to approve the fiber initiative. And this is exciting. So now the service doesn't come cheap. Now this is where it differs in other municipal ISPs. 15 megs is going to cost you $57.99 a month. That's 15 megs up and down. 5-speed of 20 megs is $69.99, followed by 50 megs at $174.99. 100 megs for $349, and know yet what the price for the 150 meg is. But I'm looking at this. I would happily pay $174.99 for 50 meg service up and down. If I could get that guaranteed, there would be no problem with me writing the check. Now, I needed more bandwidth. Even now, you think about this: 100 megs for $349, unheard of. And if I was a small business in Tennessee, or if I was to set up a webcast business, I would definitely consider Chattanooga as a city to go to set up a webcast business, because that's remarkable. Of course, you know, there's other cities that have high-speed internet, but it definitely is huge pipe for the price, for sure. Anyway, so if you live within the Chattanooga area, please email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Let me know if you're going to pick the service up or what the word is in the local area. Is it going to come to you anytime soon? When are you going to see it deployed? Pretty exciting if you live in that region, for sure. All right, for those of you that use Adobe Reader, there's a zero-day exploit out right now, and it's in the wild. Adobe has announced an exploitable flaw in Adobe Reader 9. Acrobat 9, Flash 9 and 10 has been discovered and is being actively exploited. Those of you running Windows, Mac, and Linux versions are all affected. The flaw allows arbitrary code execution by attackers, and hence it is deemed critical. Adobe has no fix available. And Adobe Reader 8 is unaffected, so if you want to uninstall to Adobe Reader 8, Flash 10.1 can be downgraded as well. It would provide some production, but they're saying on Windows, if you remove the file auth.dll, this would prevent exploitation through PDF files, though this would cause a software crash whenever it encounters a PDF with the Flash embedded in it. So just be careful out there. If you're not going to sites that you don't know, you could be setting yourself up for some pain. Hey, the BBC is reporting that Foxconn, and of course this is the company that is based out of Taiwan that has factories in China, has given workers a second pay raise. Now, no really announcement by Foxconn on why they have done this, but this is the second increase in pay. They're going to see here, if I'm reading this correctly, the factory workers are going to go from, what's the total dollars here? They're going to go, the plant would raise wages from 1,200 won to 2,000 won, and I guess that's a month. And to get that pay raise, workers, and that's roughly 1,200 won is roughly $176. To get that pay raise, workers are going to have to pass a performance test lasting 3 months. Now, that kind of sounds fishy, doesn't it? New employees will be put on probation for the same amount of time before getting the increase. And pay increases for workers at Foxconn's other Chinese plants employs more than 800,000 people in China will be announced from July 1st. And the Foxconn folks are saying this wage increase that was instituted to safeguard the dignity of workers. I'm sure what it was is they've gotten some international pressure here. Now, what does that have? Well, how's that going to affect all of us? Well, you know, in all honesty, I'd be willing to pay a little bit more for electronics, so that people could earn a little bit more money in the factories. Now, over time, salaries are going to increase to the point where manufacturers are going to be looking for another place to build stuff. But still, if you think about it, compared to American standards, $176 a month, you know, that's slave wages. That's, it's horrible. But, you know, if you look at the economy of China, I don't know how much, you know, maybe, I know Andy Brown listens to the show. I know Andy's in Shanghai. Andy, you know, what is 176 or 1,200 won? How far does that go in China? And for those of you that are familiar with China, I'm just kind of curious what the spending power of 1,200 to 2,000 won per month is. So love to hear some feedback, because I really don't know what the buying power is. I know how far dollars go in places like Thailand and so forth, but I'm really not familiar with how far that would go in China. So love to hear some feedback on that. But anyway, geeknews@gmail.com if you have feedback. And what do you think this is going to mean for the global economy? Moving on, Service Pack 1 is coming soon. Of course, while most attention was focused on the keynote today at Apple's WWDC event, Microsoft is doing its own major event this week called TechEd. Microsoft revealed it's working on Service Pack 1, and it expects to have the beta version available in July, which would probably mean an October or November rollout of Service Pack 1. So we'll keep an eye out on that and see if we see additional news on this. Let me move this down. I don't think I'm ready to get into this. Last week, we talked a little bit about Apple TV. Of course, there was no announcement today by Apple about Apple TV, and which was come as a little bit of a surprise to people. But there are some predictions made from last week's commentary about Apple possibly building an Apple TV based upon the iPad operating system, essentially. They feel that if Apple does this right, Apple will remain a closed garden, and it will make TV producers submit to their will, just as they've made the music industry submit to their will. Now, with the number of iPads that have been sold since the introduction, I think most manufacturers today and most media outlets are probably a little bit worried about the power that Apple is starting to control over online media. Steve Jobs kind of brushed off Boxy and Roku, and I still think those are two great options. I know that Magnavox TVs are having Vudu built in. Boxy's being built into a number of devices. Roku still continues to be a standalone device. Even though it's a standalone device, we've seen great traction. I just can't wait till this stuff gets actually in television sets itself. But TechCrunch envisions the future of Apple to really put pressure on people like USA Network, NBA, PBS, you know, all these other small to semi-large content creators to put channels in their device and to build walled gardens around it that I don't know that would be necessarily better for consumers what they have now or not. But what do you guys think? Do you think if Apple TV gets their act together, if Apple gets their act together on Apple TV, what do you think will happen? I just can't see them leaving this segment alone and letting folks like Google, who'll be coming out with Google TV, which will be the 500-pound gorilla in the room, and then Boxy and Roku and other devices like the new and the Pop Box to go this alone. I just don't see that this is going to happen, but they could. And I was hoping that there'd be an announcement today. Of course, I was in the airplane and I was actively checking updates when I would land between different locations. But no, nothing today on Apple TV. So we'll talk about some of the stuff that was, what else was not announced at WWDC today a little later in the show. Now, some things that, let me move this down because I've got an article here that needs to be talked about later. There we go. In the science front, artificial corneas to reach patients this year. This is pretty exciting. A German-led team of researchers developed a new version of an ophthalmological polymer to which the eyeball will bond and still function normally. The new polymer could help restore sight to thousands waiting for corneal transplants around the world. The artificial cornea has passed clinical trials and is ready to see expanded use in patients this year. Of course, this is in Germany. It'll probably be another 20 years before this gets through the United States regulatory process. But if they're successful with this, I could see many, many people going to Germany to get cornea transplants with this new technology. Pretty exciting stuff what they've been able to come up with here. Hey, you're getting ready to buy a new HP printer? Just wait a little bit. Okay, just wait. Don't buy one right yet. HP is set to unveil a line of printers, check this out, with their own email address. Now, this is going to allow you to print from devices such as a smartphone or a tablet. Now, what I like about this is being traveling a lot. Sometimes my wife will call me and she'll say, honey, can you type this up for me and I'll email it to her. You know, why not just instead, once I get it typed up, I email it to the printer and let the printer just print the thing. Say, honey, it's in the printer. So I think this is cool because people can email contracts right to a printer. The printer will print them. If I need to have a physical document, I could email a photo to a friend. In other words, if my mom had one of these printers, I said, oh, I got a great picture for you, Mom. I'll email a photo to her. That could become a little dangerous on ink. But HP plans to offer a few of these new printers to consumers this month, and then a few more of the products to small businesses in September. So I'll keep you advised on this. But this is cool. This is a very smart innovation by HP. I look forward to seeing them bring that to market. All right, more casinos are succeeding with this jackpot you just won was really a computer glitch. Now, why would I want to talk about casinos in a tech show? Well, it appears that casinos, more often than not, are basically invalidating big winnings that essentially they're saying was a computer glitch. Now, a couple who thought they'd won an $11 million jackpot from a slot machine have had the award reduced to $1,600 after the casino and the state gaming authority determined that it was a glitch. You know, I think this is bogus. You know, while I'm not going to expound the values of gambling or not, that's not mine to decide. That's your decision to decide whether you want to gamble and or not. But if someone is going to go to a casino and the machine says you've won $11 million, well, that casino better be writing me a check for $11 million minus what I owe Uncle Sam. Now, a similar situation happened back in March with a $42 million prize being taken away because of a so-called computer glitch. I think that should be the on the casino. You know, if you didn't test your software good enough and you're going to say, I won $42 million and you're going to take it away, I think you're going to have to share some time with my lawyer. But what do you guys think about that? Makes you want to really think about whether or not you want to go to Vegas or any other casino and put your money in a slot machine, knowing that at least two cases, prizes have been invalidated, big winnings have been invalidated because they said it was a computer glitch. Boy, makes me really sit back and go, According to the casino, $11 million was what we called a reset value. It's what the jackpot would have been after the prize was claimed. Okay. I don't know about that. Anyway, makes me really go, really, really does. Makes me really think about ever wanting to put any money in a slot machine ever again. So again, I'll leave it to each of you to determine the virtues and values of gambling or not, but just full awareness of what's happening out there. Okay, defining success. Well, you know, let's define the success or failure of what has happened with the lawsuits that the RIAA have filed over the years. Now, this is pretty amazing here. Data from the recording industry's lawsuits revealed in a court case showed that 11,000 of the 18,000 Does, in other words, John Does, settled immediately or had their cases dropped by the labels. 7,000 either refused to settle or never responded to the settlement letter, but after the RIAA subpoenaed their identities and filed named lawsuits against them, nearly every person settled. Now, after years of litigation, the number of people pursued a trial all the way to a verdict can be counted on one hand, and we know that most of them have lost massively. So the question we have to ask for this, has this been a, you know, sure, they've sued 18,000 people and gotten, you know, anywhere from $2,500 to $15,000 from each one of them. And what has this ended up in? Has this ended up in the recording industry being forever damaged and how we look upon it as consumers of music? So we know that the EMI threatened to leave the RIAA and the IFPI if it didn't back down from the lawsuits. We know that Sony said that the campaigns were so successful that it was a money pit, and that they feel that it cost the industry millions and millions of dollars without bringing anything near that much in settlement fees. In other words, people have been so turned off on this. So, you know, here we have the RIAAs, and they're, you know, we all what we consider being a, You know, I guess success depends on which side of the fence you're on. So the question is, with the MPAA now ramping up its lawsuit engine, going after folks that are peer-to-peer sharing movies, will we be looking at movies the same way many of us look at music? Now, here's a question I want to ask all of you, so you can send me some feedback here. Have you stopped buying music because of what the RIAA did? How are you getting music now? Are you not buying? Are you just buying singles of just of music here and there? Are you still buying full albums? How has the RIAA's actions changed the way you buy media? I would really like to hear that, some feedback from all of you. You just give me an honest assessment. And if you're still getting stuff sneakernet or peer to peer, you don't have to tell me that in the email. But basically, all I really want to know is how this has changed your buying habits of music. Is it not changed it at all? Have you boycotted? You know, what have you done? So feedbackgeeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call the voicemail hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. In a recent article on Tech Dirt, boy oh boy, this is a bad one, folks. A ruling by a Texas bankruptcy court has found that by simply linking to a liable piece of information on the internet can be considered defamation. So the bankruptcy court found that just forwarding a link of defamatory material can be considered defamation. Now, there is a Section 230 defense out there. Many years ago, we had a case that was called the Barrett versus Rosenthal case that established a positive that posting a missive written by someone else, even if the write-up was libelous, did not make the reposter liable, since they were not the ones who created the content. Now, that case is cited in defamation cases all the time involving forwarded material. But this bankruptcy court either didn't know about it or the defense attorney did not bring it up as a liable, is case law. So this is a horrible ruling in a big way. And you have to think about the impact here. How many times have you sent an email via link of something that was really juicy or Twittered something? This should make everyone just a little bit worried. Now, hopefully, the defense attorney on this will immediately appeal this, and hopefully he'll get his act together and cite this Section 230 safe harbor defense and get this overturned. But for right now, you know, really what we've got is two conflicting pieces of case law in the books. And depending on where you go to court, a lot of these cases like to be done in Texas Second District, because where a lot of cases are brought to court and for, you know, people looking for money and so forth, and with a lot of positive returns for those types of lawsuits. Okay, let's talk a little bit about space here. NASA is doing something really cool. Okay, you want to send your face in space? Yes, let me say that again. You want to send your face into space? Well, NASA wants to help you out with that. Just in time for the last two space shuttle flights, NASA's offering to fly pictures of anyone who uploads a headshot on their Face in Space website to the International Space Station. So all you got to do is to faceinspace.nasa.gov, faceinspace.nasa.gov, upload a headshot, register the information, and then after the flight gets back, you will get a basically a little certificate saying that your face flew in space. Digitally, your face will fly in space. So here's what I'm going to do. Oh, you got to be older than 13. I was going to do this for all my kids. It's just a cool little thing, right? Why didn't they make it so you could do your kids? Well, I wonder if they'll really look at the pictures. I want to submit all my kids anyway. So if you want your kid's face in space, or you want your face in space, all you got to go to is faceinspace.nasa.gov. I'll have the link up to it in the show notes. This is pretty cool. And you get to pick the mission you want to be on. So here's the question. Do you want to fly on Discovery, or do you want to fly on Endeavor? Let's see here. Which one do I want to fly on? I think I'm going to do Discovery. That's probably open for debate. Which would be worth more? There's going to be millions of people that are going to do this. You know, they're all going to carry it up in a little hard drive. And our thumbnail pictures are going to be about a K big. I'm sure that... So anyway, if you want your face in space, send it off to NASA. All right, let's talk about iPhone 4. And the first thing I caught today was that they had a little problem during their demo. About 40 minutes into the keynote speech in which Steve Jobs was introducing the latest gadget known as iPhone 4, his demo came to abrupt halt because there was 571 other people connected to the free Wi-Fi. And then he asked everyone to disconnect. Now, here's the funny part. Okay, let me. I want to read this. Jobs fiddled with his phone for a few seconds. He says, "Well, I guess I can't show you that much today," he said reluctantly. "I can show you some pictures," so he moved on to that. He tried to come back to the demo of the phone browser, but no luck. He says, "I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on." He said, the crowd of developers and media, "Got any suggestions?" Well, someone from the back helpfully shouted, "Verizon." Though the crowd laughed, Jobs took it in stride. He said it simply, "We're actually on Wi-Fi." So after they'd figured out that 570 people were connected to the free Wi-Fi connection in the room, and why they were on the same Wi-Fi connection as the, you know, you make one private, you make one open, so you guarantee you get on. And he says, "So you guys have a choice. Either turn off your Wi-Fi device or I give up. Would you like to see the demo?" he said. Then all you bloggers need to turn off your notebooks. Yeah, tell the bloggers to turn off their netbooks. A few people in the media section did appear to be complying, and the folks at CNET was using their own 3G, so they weren't causing the issue. And Apple had asked them to shut down, and they said no. But apparently he was able to finally get the demo off. You know, I would be very surprised if this ever happens again. This is the second time they've had a goof up during one of their demos of one of their important announcements. Got to be hardwired, folks. That's the only way to really make that happen. Okay, the iPhone operating system has been renamed to iOS 4. It's launching on June 21st. This is going to give all of us that have 3G phones, we're going to be able to upgrade. There's 1,500 new features coming with the new device. And the iPhone 4 is going to have a pretty amazing screen, and they made a big deal about that today. And everyone is that I've read here has said that the screen is just flawless. It's got very pixel rate. In other words, you can't see the actual pixels. And so you're going to be able to upgrade to iPhone 3G, 3GS, and iPod Touch on June 21st. It'll be free upgrade to iPod Touch owners for the first time, which is nice. Not all features are going to be supported across all devices. And the 3G won't do multitasking. So does that mean the 3GS would? We'll see. One thing is being... announced on the Engadget site is that the iOS trademark is currently owned by Cisco. So I'm sure Apple's lawyers are going to be busy with them, paying them off for that. The those of you that have phones and you are basically not eligible, well, if you are eligible for an upgrade in 2000, you're going to be, if you're eligible for an upgrade anytime in 2010, you're going to be able to get one. So you're up to 6 months early on upgrading your phone. And I don't know when I got my phone. I don't think I'm going to be eligible till next year. I think I'm going to wait to see if it comes out on Verizon. Based on this last go-around with this, you know, the monkey. Of course, I'm grandfathered. I'll be able to go to keep my unlimited plan. And so I'm not affected with the bandwidth stuff. But, you know, I just after my last go off on the last show talking about, you know, bait and switch by AT&T, this can be very, very, very hard decision. I think an Android may be in my future. So I guess we'll see what happens here. But if you already got an iPhone, you're okay. You'll be able to carry over your unlimited data plan. Unlike anyone that isn't, you're going to be stuck on, going to be stuck on the new plan where you're going to have to, you get it $5 cheaper and limited to 2 gigs. So I didn't get any feedback. What are you guys using for bandwidth out there on your devices? No one sent me their numbers. So you guys, fire me some feedback back. Geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, the iPhone 4 does 720p HD video. It's going to have iMovie preloaded with it. And, of course, it's going to have a camera on the front and the back, which is cool. The rear camera is equipped with an LED flash, which is kind of cool. And tap-to-focus will also be rolled out in the iPhone. And according to Steve Jobs, the megapixel count has grown. They didn't say what to, though. Of course, the iMovie won't come for free. You're going to have to pay $5 for that. And how many of you are editing videos on your phone? It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I guess, maybe I'm just too old to understand why you'd want to do it on the phone. There was an article there where they really looked at pixel density. And actually, Apple's calling it Retina display. And so Retina display is basically you can't see the difference. You can't see the pixelation in the screen. So they said they were able to look at the phone from a distance and they were able to read the bodies of text we'd previously had to squint on, which is interesting. They got some videos out as well. I have all these links to these various articles. There's just a pile of them here. Gizmodo, Engadget, you name it. There's a variety of sites that have coverage today. This FaceTime video only works on Wi-Fi. Basically, here's the thing, it sucks. All right, you're going to have a phone, new phone. You're going to be able to point it at you and turn it on and do a video call to someone. Yet, you're going to have to be on Wi-Fi. They didn't make this turn on with AT&T. Huh? Why? Why? Oh, maybe because people would be using a lot of bandwidth. Teenagers are going to go crazy about this. Being able to hold their phone up in front of their face, talking to their girlfriends or boyfriends and seeing each other, teenagers are going to go absolutely crazy about this FaceTime video. And it's cool. I could see doing it with colleagues. But I want to do it wherever I'm at. I don't want to be Wi-Fi connection. I don't get it. All right, the new phone is shockingly thin. Build is pretty solid. Screws on the bottom of it. That's kind of un-Apple-like. And they say the operating system is way snappier. So, we'll see about that. And, but I don't know. I got to go back to this Wi-Fi thing on the ability to do this FaceTime video. Don't you think that was a bad move, or was it more of AT&T playing games? Bing is officially going to come to the iPhone. You're going to be able to search on Bing. It's going to be a search option. And I'm going to link you up to all the articles, okay? So you guys can go through and look at everything, and don't just take my word for it. Go ahead and take a peek yourself. Let me look at where we're at on time here. Okay, we're doing good. All right, here's what was missing from the presentation today. No iTunes.com, no Apple TV, no MacBook Pro or MacBook Air upgrades, no Mac Mini upgrade, no magical multi-touch trackpad, and obviously no Verizon iPhone. So I was almost positive, based upon what I have seen recently from iTunes, I could have swore iTunes.com was going to be rolled out today. But no such animal. Apple TV, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens here with that. So maybe we'll see an upgrade to Mac Pro and MacBook Air upgrades, not a MacBook Pro. So no update to the Mac Pro. It's been a long time since early 2009 since there's been a refresh on that. So anyway, that was what was missing from the announcement today. Here's the question that I've asked myself immediately when I found out that AT&T was going to offer the upgrade of its iPhone 6 months early. Now, we know that a two-year contract subsidizes the cost of the phone. So that means that AT&T has agreed to allow you to have a phone as much as 18 months early. 6 months early. In other words, they weren't able to recoup 6 months of the money that they would have normally recouped, making you wait for the upgrade. So you can buy the phone outright for $599 or $699. You can get the upgrade for $199 for 16 gig or $299 for 32 gig. So why is AT&T so desperate to get all of you to upgrade to version 4 of the phone 6 months early? Could it be that within the next 2 to 3 months, Verizon is going to be announced? You know, the Wall Street Journal has said that the iPhone is coming to Verizon. They're pretty reputable. They're saying that a CDMA iPhone is in the works. Well, okay, what if it's 2011 before it comes out? Well, that doesn't really, that gives that only thing they would have done is given AT&T some more money in their pockets if they wouldn't have extended this, allowed you to upgrade early. So why have they allowed any iPhone owner eligible for an upgrade to take it immediately, again, up to 6 months early? Are you guys going to wait? What are you going to do? So that is the question. That's where you go, All right, let's get off this and let's move to a different topic. The FCC has started to do spectrum scavenging. We know that we are out of RF spectrum. Today released a public notice that seeks to input on allocating the 35 megahertz of spectrum used primarily by weather balloons and weather satellites for wireless broadband. The spectrum sits between 1675 and 1710 megahertz and is known as the Big LEO band. They say using it would help achieve the goal outlined in the National Broadband Plan of finding 300 megahertz for wireless broadband within the next 5 years. The Big LEO band is part of the spectrum allocated for mobile satellite services, which also encompasses L and S band spectrum. That's a total of 90 megahertz. FCC is giving citizens and businesses until June 28th to let the agency know if they're using the band, what for, and when. The FCC also wants to know if there is a more efficient way that some of the traffic transmitted through these airways on behalf of the government could be sent via terrestrial networks. In other words, they'll basically go IP-based, at least that's what I assume, to other satellites that are already in orbit. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. Hey, Scoble's got a good article up, and it's a video on Steve Rubel and his favorite iPad apps, and this is a good video, so check this one out. I'll have a link up in the show note to it, and these guys are heavy-duty iPad users, and it'll be a great way for you to go through and find some new apps out there. Hey, Robin Good on his masternewmedia.org website has a post up about wireframing and website prototyping, best free tools to design your website. And, in my head, I've got ideas all the time for websites and new businesses and different ways to mix and match stuff. And I've never had the ability to, I scratch something on a piece of paper and that's about as good as it gets. But there is some very cool tools out there that'll let you plan what your website's going to look like. Now, what I like about this is that you can really kind of lay out way you want a website design before you turn it over to a web developer. And if they know what you want, then what that does is that lowers your cost because you're not going back and doing two or three different revisions. Both of you have a consistent idea of how a website's going to be laid out. So check out these free tools. I wish I had known about these a long time ago, because even with my limited artistic skills, I would have been using those tools to draw out exactly what I want to meet the goals I have for Geek News Central and other sites that I run. Okay, that's it for regular content today. And let me go ahead here and open up the, see what I've got for email. And I haven't opened that up already. Today's show, if you have comments on today's show, you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Of course, you can always drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, see, my mom is watching the show. Hey, Mom, how are you? I know we talked earlier today as I was driving down, and let me see here. GNC comments, we'll open that up and let that queue up. And waiting for it here to open the folder. Not a lot. Let me look here. I got an email from Lamar. He said, "Hey, Todd, AT&T is really bad company. I really like my iPhone, and I'd love to move to T-Mobile without jailbreaking. This new tiered piercing is funny. I got rid of basic texting by using an app and lowered my minutes from 90 to 450. They, in turn, took 4,000 of my rollover minutes. In other words, took them away from you. It's scary. Saving money with the evil umpire. Patiently waiting for the LTE/4G version of an iPhone. Great show, Lamar." Got an email here from Bam. It says, "Hey, Todd, the intro was great. You didn't hurt his feelings, did you? Tell him good job." From Jeff. "Hey, Jeff, don't worry. I did. Obviously, I was in the moment of doing the show, but after the show was over, I went out and high-fived him, and no, he didn't feel bad. He did a great job. And he was just a little nervous, and sister was kind of there trying to help coach too. So we just had fun with the intro. No, don't worry. He was cool. I got an email here from Trucker Tom. He says, "Hey Todd, dark side arises for phone apps." And basically, he says, "The smartphones and applications around them take off. Business and consumers are beginning to confront a budding dark side of wireless web. With over 250,000 applications, such as game and financial tools, the apps may have been key in selling point for devices like the iPhone, but concerns are growing among security researchers and government officials that efforts to keep out malicious software aren't keeping up with the app craze." Now, in one instance, Google pulled dozens of unauthorized mobile banking apps from its Android market in December. The apps, priced at $1.50, were made by a developer named 09 Droid and claimed to offer access to accounts at many of the world's banks. Google said it pulled the apps because they violated its trademark policy, but what it really was is this guy wasn't authorized to connect to the banks. The apps were more useless than malicious, but could have been updated to capture customers' banking credentials, and it's becoming easier for bad guys to eat app stores, he said. Unlike Apple or BlackBerry Maker Research in Motion, Google doesn't have employees dedicated to vetting applications submitted to its Android store. What does it say? Unlike Apple or BlackBerry Maker Research in Motion, Google doesn't have employees. Okay, Google doesn't have employees dedicated to vetting applications submitted to its Android store. Google said it removes apps that violates its policies, but largely relies on users to alert it to bad software. "We check reactively," said a Google spokesperson. "There is no manual bottleneck." This is pretty crazy stuff. So there's a good article here. I'll link up to it. It's from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks, Trucker Tom, for that link. Very good. And keep those good ones coming. Jim sent me an email, and he says, "China's live country considered astronauts' bloody reentry." China's first astronaut, Yang Liwei, was happy and smiling after having orbited Earth 14 times. At least what's how he was seen in the official picture above. So this has got some more oh my goodness, you guys got to read this story. I guess this guy did not have a good reentry. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. Okay, that's it. That was all the emails, just 4 or 5 here. Pretty short on email comments tonight, and no voicemails as well. So anyway, that's a wrap on the show, folks. A little bit of a shorter one here, start off in Texas, and this probably does my body good to get done a little bit early for all of you. But I'll hang out here on Ustream a little bit for everyone. And everyone take care, And definitely send email my way, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. I'm surprised, though, that I didn't get more reaction to my going off on AT&T. Either you guys have become so used to me going off, or I need to step it up another notch and do something a little more over the top to get a reaction out of you guys. Anyway, everyone take care and be good. We'll see you on Thursday. Again, if you want to watch live, I'll be up 8 p.m. Central Time for you guys to check the show out. And until next time, everyone take care and aloha.